So this morning, a few things have been mentioned, and one of the main things that's been mentioned is prayer. Have you not noticed? So this is more teaching than preaching. You know, in my early years, I hated school. I couldn't stand school. I just wanted to get out. I didn't like it. So I went into a building apprenticeship, became a carpenter, cabinet maker, went through all that, and then God had different plans. Years and years later, I worked with a special needs child between jobs. Then I became a truancy officer for 13, 14, somewhere, quite a lot of years, over 50, under 20. And I don't know if you know what a truancy officer is. A truancy officer is a person who gets kids back to school, who bunk school. Under New Zealand law, Section 31 Education Act 1931 says all children, New Zealand citizens between the ages of 6 and 16 must attend a place of education whilst it is open for education. And that's the law I worked under. So I was a person under the New Zealand law legally getting kids back into school. I hated school, remember? My service shut down. I used to do all Central South Taranaki districts for about 13 years, and the government, in their wisdom, changed the system, which is now failing, but we won't go there. And so I was out of a job. The principal of the high school says, we've got no woodwork teacher, we're waiting for one to come from overseas. Do you want to be a teacher? Well, I've never taught. And I said, yes, of course. And so I spent some time teaching woodwork at Stratford High School. The first day, I had a class of 30 in front of me, and I walked up and I looked at the class and I had a panic attack. You ever had a panic attack?
Yeah.
You go dry, you can't breathe, you go into panic mode, and I said, excuse me, and I walked outside into the quadrangle and took some really deep breaths, and then walked in and says, okay, class, so where were you at? And that's how I started. 6 months after that, I was then offered a job for 12 months at Englewood High, teaching woodwork and social studies. I'm not a teacher. So I learnt lots of things. So God showed me lots of things during that time about teaching. So you'll find that a lot of my so-called sermons are more teaching than preaching. These guys, John and Paul, they'll do a lot of ad-lib stuff and they'll walk around and everything else, whereas mine is just straight down the line. That's why we have a selection of four speakers in our church, so you don't get all bored with the teacher. All right? So anyway, this is more teaching than preaching, but who knows? God might just touch me and I start preaching. Which he probably will. But anyway, Ephesians 6:18 says, there's, 26 scriptures in this. Ephesians 6:18 says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all God's people. So it's an interesting thing. Do you understand what prayer is? There are a couple of different forms of prayer. The prayer I'm talking about mainly here is talking to God. You can do it verbally. You can do it in your mind. I do it in a thing called glossolalia, or in tongues, because I have that gift. That gift's available to everyone, by the way. And so there are various ways. I'll get into that. Okay, so through Christ we have direct access. We've got a hotline to God, and that's in Hebrews 10:19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of the Lamb. What an honour that is. Stop and think about that for a minute. I'll just say it again. Since we have confidence to what? Enter the most holy place. Just think about that. The most holy place, just little old you and I. By the blood of Jesus, of course. No man comes to the Father but by whom? Jesus. Keep that in your head. No man comes to the Father but by him. Not by anyone else. By Jesus. That's what it says. We're called priests of God. Or priests and priestesses. All right. Isaiah 61:6, which says, "And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations and their riches you will boast." All right. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." That's pretty amazing when you think about that. Sometimes you need to read these things and know who you are. You're not just little Filipinas. You are priests and priestesses of God, of the Most High. That's huge. Don't ever think you're little. You may be little in stature, but huge in heart. Prayer isn't an activity we enter into at certain times of the day or on certain days of the week, but it is an expression of our fellowship with God. In Genesis, Adam used to walk in the garden east of Eden, and what did he do? He used to speak with God, and God looked forward to it. So we hear. So it is in every aspect of the Christian walk. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray continually. Stop and think about that. I just mentioned it before. How do you pray continually? Well, your thoughts are with the Lord. You're communicating with the Lord all the time. I mean, how many times, like guys that have been out, I don't know, I used to do this as a builder. I get to a job and people would say, "Can you do that job?" And I'd look at the job. It might be a rotten wall of a house, because I specialise in 1900s to 1930 houses. So half the wall might be rotten, and they say, "Can you fix this?" And I go, "Yes, of course I can." Okay. So everything in me is saying no, but the tradesman is saying, "Yes, of course I can. Because once I pull that apart, I'll fix it, because I'll know how." I mean, many of you in your trades probably do that in your other jobs, I don't know. The good thing is that I have a God who was on, a carpenter. So I just say, "Lord, just show me what to do," and he does. I took on jobs that people would say, "Pull the house down." And then one of the guys that said to a friend of mine, "Pull your house down, get rid of it, and get another one. It's just rotten, it's had it." And so my friend and I, we rebuilt the wall, did up all everything. And when it was finished, it looked like it was brand new. Well, the guy that said to him, "Pull the house down," he actually owns it now. So, and rented his house next door. So here we are told to pray without ceasing, constantly reoccurring. We can pray with our mind in our native tongue or with the spirit in an unknown language. Now, this shouldn't be controversial. My upbringing as a Christian, this is normal, but it seems that in this generation, it's not. For some reason, well, I know the reason. Satan does not want you to know the truth. So he will do everything he can to stop you knowing the truth. Because the truth will set you free. Anyway, both are equally acceptable to God. So it doesn't matter if you pray to the Lord in your mind, that's fine. If you pray to him with your lips, that's fine. Very difficult to be saying, "Lord, what's this," when you're walking with other people. So you do that in your mind. You know, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever worked on an altar call in a church, and someone comes up and you don't know what to say to them. And so in your mind you're going, please, Lord, what's going on, Lord? You know, give me some words, blah, 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 blah. Even when you're preaching sometimes you're thinking, Lord, just move, please, because you know, I don't know what to say. I think Moses had that problem, didn't he? He stuttered. Is that what you're saying the other week? Moses stuttered. Don't use me, use someone else. Use Aaron. God's got different ideas. Okay, so when we pray in tongues, we're not hindered by the natural limitations of our mind. So this is speaking in tongues that's talking about what they call glossolalia. Okay. Therefore, the gift of tongues is invaluable in prayer. In the epistles, we find the main focus in prayer is on the Christians, but we are also urged to pray for nations, governments, all in authority, and to pray against the enemy. So this is more on praying on the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Jude 20 says, "But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit." So that's praying in the Holy Spirit. Moses went into the holiest of all before the mercy seat, firstly to receive the commandments of the Lord, and secondly to intercede for the people. Exodus 25, 22. "There above, the cover between the two cherubim that are over the Ark of the Covenant law, I will meet with you and give you all my commands for the Israelites." So we need, these are all about times of very deep, deep spiritual prayer of man to God that I'm talking about. We need to spend time waiting on God, hearing his voice, directing and instructing us. God initiates all real prayer. You know, once you start to pray, all of a sudden the words come. Yeah. To start with, it's a bit, dip, dip, dip. Then all of a sudden, once the Holy Spirit starts working in you. Not all the time. So God initiates all real prayer, and as we let the Holy Spirit lead us in prayer, we can be sure that we will always pray according to the will of God. The thing is, God has to be your focus. God has to be your focus in prayer. Praying in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is directing us in prayer. Our renewed mind enables us to hear God prompting us to pray. Those who are walking in the Spirit have the mind of Christ. We need to have more confidence in the thoughts that enter our mind in regard to prayer. Hebrews 8:10, "This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel." We are the spiritual Israel, by the way. I know when I was younger, I used to get really annoyed. I'd read the Bible, it's all about Israel, and I'd think, oh, what about me? I'm in New Zealand. Doesn't apply to me. It's all talking about them over there, but we are the spiritual Israel. Is that right? Yeah. I'm sure it is. So this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my laws in their minds and write them in their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Now, here's an interesting thought. I think I've said this before. We talk about Jesus Christ. The Christ part is a title. There were lots of people called Jesus. But our Jesus is Jesus the Christ. The Christ is a title. It's about spirituality and oneness with God. So Jesus was Jesus the Christ. Of course, people say, oh, Jesus Christ. Some people say that the wrong way, don't they? Funny that, eh? They don't say, oh, Buddha. Or, all Hare Krishna. They go, JC. As a negative vernacular. Anyway. So, pray with confidence. Because if you know who you are, you will pray with confidence. You should. John 1 John 5, 14, 15. So this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, the key's here, by the way, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. But you have to know your God, by the way. It says according to his will. So you have to know what his will is. But it's a little bit the same as what I said about, you know, the desires of your heart. God puts them there. It's not that you have a desire for something and you're going to get it. The scripture says very clearly, I will give you the desire of your heart. And people get, you see what I mean? People get it slightly wrong. As we pray in the Spirit, we have the confidence that we are praying in the will of God, and therefore we can be sure that we will receive whatever we have sought from him. Well, here we are. I got exactly what I wanted, what I prayed for. But the Lord would have put the desire there. Hey, Eva. No, seriously.
Are you in another
room? This isn't God. There's no two ways about it. I've got no doubt in my heart or my mind or any other part of me that we are supposed to be together. We have ups and downs. It's normal. But we work through things. We talk. That's the key. The tag, if it be your will, at the end of a prayer, suggests a lack of knowledge and faith. I'll say that again. You know, some people say, I'll follow you, da-da-da-da, if it be your will. Well, if you're praying correctly, you wouldn't have to say that. Because you'd be praying. You'd know the will of God. You could debate that if you like. Some people don't agree with what I just said. But I'm telling you, if you ask at the end of a prayer, if it be your will, why are you asking it? Because it must be his will if you're praying for it. Anyway, and the other thing, without faith, it's what? Impossible to what? Please God. Because that's building things that don't exist, believing that they are going to exist. Hebrews 11:1, faith in action. And what we just said, now faith is the confidence in what we hope for and the assurance about what we do not see. Knowing the will of God before we pray gives us the right to an answer at all times. Okay. Because God should be putting in your mind's eye, in your heart, what to pray for. So if he does that, and if you believe he does that through faith, what you pray for should happen, because God put it there. Do you get that? It's quite simple. But like most things in the gospel, they're so simple, they're complicated. You know? The Lord talked about a childlike faith. Think about that. God sometimes delays answering our petitions in order to strengthen our faith and to test our motives. If there is any sin in our heart, God will not hear us. So if we're praying for selfish means or for vengeance or for payback, or that's not going to happen. Psalm 66, well, it might, but it won't be God. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If our heart does not condemn us, we can approach the throne of grace with confidence, knowing that we will be heard and we will receive whatever we ask. 1 John 3:20-22. The only reason I've got all these scriptures to back up what I'm saying, okay? If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and we know, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And also in James 5:16, Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. John 15:7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. All about obedience and knowing who you are in Christ. Never forget who you are. You know, when the devil stands in front of you, starts ripping you to bits and pulling you down, know who you are. You don't have to say anything. You just know who you are. Never forget that, because there will be times in your life when you will be challenged. And Satan will be standing in front of you as someone else, going blah, 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 and you're standing there going blah, blah, blah. But if you know who you are in the Lord, it'll just bounce off you. You know? And so that's about the armour of God. We've had teaching on that and what that armour does. And you don't have to know where all the scriptures are. You don't have to say, oh, you know, John 15:7 says that. You just have to know that it says, that somewhere it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done. You don't have to know where it is. What paragraph? I mean, if you're a learned person, yes, do it. You know? In the old culture, with the Jewish culture, I think of Bar Mitzvah, when a young boy is 13 years old and becomes a man at 13, he has to recite half of the Old Testament. But as I read before, it'll be in our hearts and in our minds. Won't necessarily be James 15:7. Do you get what I'm saying? James 1:5-8. This is a good one. Good old James, great man. Should do a good study of James one day. A lot of wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, he who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in everything they do. James has such a good way of explaining things. Remember, he talks about the tongue. A tongue is like the rudder of a ship. The ship is a huge, massive vessel, but it's controlled by a small rudder, like your tongue. Good man, James. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. Maybe I shouldn't say the next bit. As an equal partner and as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. I only changed that bit because we are in the 21st century and this was written in whatever it was. And their culture had a different way of looking at things. But I think in saying, when it's talking about woman being the weaker partner, they're not actually saying that you're weak, as in weak, even though the translation comes out as that. I think it's just saying that men are stronger in physical things. Traditionally, a lot of load is on a male. You know, a man should be the king of his castle, all that sort of stuff. Traditions come into that scripture. But woman, you're equals to men. I've talked before, when a woman comes up here and preaches, the Holy Spirit is working through her. So is it a woman or is it a man? Anyway, think about that. You know, the Holy Spirit, I don't think, has any gender. James 4:3, when you ask, you do not receive, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Wrong motives won't work. Hard to give me $1 million. You might think at the time, if you got $1 million, look, I could give a tithe to the church, that would give them lots of money, I could get my kids into a house, blah, 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 blah. But when it actually happens, you may be surprised with the person you turn into. Yeah. You all of a sudden have $1 million. Come on. A $1 million, I can do anything. I don't know if they still have them on TV. They used to have the programs about people that had wealth. And it splashed it in a couple of years. Millions of dollars. Just poof, gone. And they'd be worse off than some of us. Incredible. It does change people. Mark 11:23-24. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, a little thing about that scripture, or that writing, it says, "Go if you believe that the mountain will go throw itself in the sea, and the Lord has put that in your heart, don't think it's just talking about emotions or, I mean, in some cases it does talk about hardships in your life, but if a mountain was in the way, it would be moved. And if you don't believe me, let's go back to Moses. When he came, when they were being chased and they came to the waters, what happened? Now, the waters is as big as a mountain. Come on, think about it. It was in the way. What happened? What did the Lord tell him? Lift your stick. And what happened? The waters parted. Now, if it was a mountain, he would have done the same. Lift your stick and the mountain would go and open up. So I believe implicitly, if the Lord told me to move the mountain, it would move. I have no problem understanding that at all. But in a lot of places, it does refer to the big things in your life. The mountains in your life, your emotional mountains. But remember that. You might come along a hill that needs to be moved one day. When you're leading lots of people away from conflict and you're being chased and there's a big hill and you can't get past it. All of a sudden it may have a hole through it. You just don't know. God is a God of miracles. John 1:5-4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even in our faith. We can claim every promise of God by faith and prayer. We are coming against principalities and powers in heavenly places. Therefore, Satan will try to hinder our prayers and make us ineffective in the spiritual battle in which we are engaged. God has given us authority in prayer to bind and loose. I don't know your backgrounds, church backgrounds, but in my, I was brought up as a Baptist, and I went the ways of the world for several years, and then I came back through the Apostolic Church, and then through the AOGs. It was the AOG in Lower Hutt, and they left there and started Hillsong. We used to sit down and talk about, let's flood the world with music. Because Satan's playground is the area of the mind. If you listen to the radio, especially around those times, all this music's coming out, and listen to what it was saying. All the negative, absolute garbage that's coming out of the words in these music. Some rap music's the same. And that is, you know, Satan is the prince of the power of the what? The ear. Where does music come? Through the airwaves. So we talked about starting a church of musicians and flood the world market with music, Christian music. That's Hillsong. All right? That was the roots of Hillsong. I always wonder what happened, where I'd be if I went with them. But what they did, I don't know if they did, I'm pretty sure they did, is that they went to Australia and they employed professional musicians, and those musicians became Christians. And so everyone who plays, always who's tied up with the music side of Hillsong, they're actually, that's their mission. That's their, you know, pastors get paid, that they're the Levites. If you look in the Old Testament, the Levites were always looked after by the community. They were held up in high esteem, and they were paid by the people, same as pastors. I used to have my last pastor on about all the time. Anyway, here I'm doing the good for nothing. But anyway, we'll get on to this. Truly I tell you, this is Matthew 8:18. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We used to hear lots of people preaching, and they'd say, "We bind you, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we loose the Spirit of God." And a lot of that went on in those meetings. And then they go, "Koreana matapai shitikira tapokuronda." You know, they go into tongues. And the thing about tongues, why I probably rave on aloud about it, is that when I'm praying in that language, nothing, no spiritual thing, nothing, it's a direct link with God. Nothing can get in there. Nothing can get in my mind. Satan just can't get anywhere near me. That must really annoy him. Anyway. Yeah, that 18:18 says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." The Amplified Bible says, "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven." See the difference between the Amplified? Okay, the Holy Spirit in prayer, Romans 8:26. I've only got another 2 pages. Oh, goodness, sorry. Okay, the Holy Spirit in prayer, Romans 8:26. "In the same way the Spirit comes to us," this is Amplified, "and helps us in our weakness. We do not know what prayer to offer or how to offer it as we should, but the Spirit himself knows our need and at the right time intercedes on our behalf with sighs and groanings too deep for words." So the sighs and groanings is koreana matapai shitikirata parakura, tongues. That's the groans and moanings. Okay. "The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We have many weaknesses when it comes to prayer: tiredness, apathy, ill health, disrupting thoughts, interruptions that weaken us to pray, not knowing what to pray nor how to pray. The Holy Spirit has a very distinct ministry to us in prayer, and in that he enables us to overcome our weakness. Instead of striving to get rid of our weakness, we can rest in the Lord, having given him our problem. He will enable us to be strong. Let the weak say, 'I am strong.'" And you know, when you pray sometimes, that, you know, you don't want to pray. All those things come in. Joel 3:10, "Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, 'I am strong.'" Okay, so the Holy Spirit intercedes through us. God is looking for people who are willing to take on his burdens for prayer. We cannot help or hinder Christ's intercessions for us, for it rests on what he has done, not on what we are doing or have done. But we can frustrate or help the intercession of the Holy Spirit in us. The Holy Spirit needs us in order to fulfill his ministry of intercession. We are his vessels. His intercession in us takes the form of weeping. Luke 19:41, "As he approacheth Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it." I don't know if you remember that. John 11:35, Jesus wept. John 11:33, I wouldn't worry too much about these scriptures. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in the spirit and troubled. And sighing, Mark 7:34, this is the Amplified, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed deeply and said to the man," Ephatheth, it's a pretty hard one to say, "which is Aramaic, means be opened and released. Sometimes too deep to be uttered." Intercession in scriptures is often linked to the travail that a mother undergoes for the birth of her child. A woman should understand that. I don't. A woman. Okay. Our availability, our compassion, and our determination to persist in prayer until we sense a release of the burden are important in the ministry of intercession. And that's it. The reason I talked about the prayer is we had a prayer meeting last week, and there were three of us there. It's really interesting. I was one male, two women. But I noticed in that meeting that once God gave me a direction, which took a while, things started to move. I could feel it moving. And we all could feel it moving. And so we were all very quiet. Then all of a sudden we got really loud, really loud. And then it all went, you know, like a crescendo. And of course, when people start in that situation, they're shy. It's like I'm starting to ask elders to come up and pray for people, and I start doing that more and more. Get out of the shyness. We all have that, but get out of the shyness. Know who you are in God. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood. You know what that means? You know? I mean, look at these people that are really, really negative, and they're going to have palaces and castles and virgins. And so they'll strap a bomb on themselves because that's what they're going to get, and they'll go and blow themselves to bits with a few other hundred people who are infidels. And we don't understand, and we don't believe who we are. And yet a person like that who comes from certainly not a Christian place has that belief and that strong that they give their lives. You know, there is no greater love than a man gives his life for his brother. Know who you are. You know, you are royal priests and priestesses in the house of God. Okay, music team. So I'm just going to pray, and the music team will take over. So come up, team. Don't be shy. Okay, let's pray. So, Father, we want to be the people that you want us to be. You know every one of us, our shortfalls, our strengths, our likes, our dislikes, those things that hold us at a distance from you. Father, possess us, clean us, guide us, so that when we speak to you, we are truly speaking to our Abba Father, our Daddy, our one and only God, the Creator of the universe. Holy Spirit, work within us a vision for the future and direction, the direction God wants for us. Open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears. Help us to move in your Holy Spirit, Father. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and showed us these things. Blessings to you, Lord, Father, and Holy Spirit. Amen.